Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Two more hours to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern. A new week starts tonight in the Big Easy in the National Football League. The Saints host the Broncos and their former head coach for 15 seasons. That, of course, is Sean Payton. Plenty of previews and breakdowns for Thursday night football are in store. We'll look at a new week in college football on the horizon. If last Saturday was sensational, if it's even possible, DRS, to one up the greatness that we have seen in college football this season so far, Saturday might be the one to deliver. And of course, we will get you set for everything you need to know around the league championship series, a doubleheader in October. First in Cleveland, it's game three of the ALCS. Can the Guardians return home and eke out their first victory of the LCS? Will the Dodgers take a commanding 3-1 series lead in game four tonight, or will the Mets even it up back in Queens? So much to get to here, Donnie. It's a beautiful Thursday in October.
It really is, Ben. Let's take it. You want to take a victory lap with me right now? Let's join hands and run around the track with our hands up here, because you know what? I feel bad for Georgia football, like Athens. Saturday night, you're playing Texas, the top team in the country. You already got a loss. Your season's over, man. Like, why watch this football game?
I like this.
No, we're all watching this game because Georgia wins. They're going to the college football playoff. That's the way it should be. Anybody out there, once again, who said it's stupid that there's a 12-team college football playoff coming, don't you dare watch Texas and Georgia. And if you were a Georgia fan in the SEC, I don't know if I like this here, you wouldn't be needing to watch this game because your season would already be over, and it's not now. So congratulations to us. Congratulations to the people that love the expanded playoff, because you know what happens now? We watch this game Saturday night and get excited because national championship implications are on the line when they wouldn't be in previous seasons. How about that?
I like this guy. I like this guy that takes victory laps in college football based on the 12-team CFP expansion. Texas is the number one team in the country and the national title favorites at plus 350. Georgia is the number five team in the country with the third best price to win a championship this year at plus 490. And an underdog are the dogs for the first time in over 3 years. Plenty to get to in college football in our second half hour of this second hour. But we start, DRS, with one of our favorite games. It's time for buy and sell here as we get ready for a new week in the NFL. We looked at these odds ever so briefly in our opening hour. Offensive rookie of the year. We asked, can Malik Nabers, third best price at 14-1, if he returns to the field this week for the New York Giants, get back into the race? Because it seems as though it is a two-guy race, a two-quarterback race, where currently the number two overall pick, Washington's Jaden Daniels, is in front and the odds-on favorite of the number one overall selection, Chicago's Caleb Williams. You see the stats right there. Jaden Daniels has been historic. Caleb Williams, after a struggle to start in his first two and a half, three games of this season, has looked really good the last 3 weeks for Chicago. With the Bears on a three-game win streak. So as Caleb Williams continues to perform and get adjusted to the NFL, and as Jaden Daniels continues what is already a historic rookie campaign for the Commanders, buy or sell, Donnie Wrightside, Jaden Daniels should be a minus money offensive rookie of the year favorite.
As we sit here on October 17, 2024, absolutely I'm buying this. Because if you just look at the statistics, 1,726 total yards to 1,486 total yards in the favor of Jaden Daniels. 10 total touchdowns to 9 total touchdowns, 2 interceptions to 5 interceptions. And also, sometimes we just look at singular games here. Both of these guys have 4 wins on the season. But coming into the season, the expectations for me were much, much higher in Chicago for team total wins to start the season than the Washington Commanders. I thought Chicago would be good this year because of Caleb Williams and the talent they surrounded him with. I wasn't sure what I was going to get out of a new coaching staff in Washington, a new offensive philosophy here in Washington, a new quarterback, and a lot of moving parts here. And I've been quite pleasantly surprised by the Washington Commanders. But when you look at Heisman moments, right? You need that big game in prime time in front of a national audience to say, whoa, this kid has arrived. Jaden Daniels has already had that. That Cincinnati game on Monday night where he was damn near perfect, throwing dimes all over the place and essentially turning the lights out in Cincinnati, that gives him that little pedestal moment to say, this kid absolutely has it. And it's not been just a flash in the pan, like, hey, highlight here, highlight there. This kid has been sensational, making reads all over the place, being efficient with the football, making plays with his feet when he has to, and has been great in front of the media. Things will change. There's a long way to go. But right now, Ben, I'm buying Jaden Daniels. I'm buying the Commanders right now, and he deserves to be the favorite right now in the Rookie of the Year race.
Deserves to be the favorite, in my estimation. Deserves to have a minus in front of his price. But how much longer, DRS, is that minus there? Is Jaden Daniels even the offensive rookie of the year favorite? We would expect it to at least stand until week number 8. You talked about the monumental showdown, 1-2 in week number 8 between the Bears and the Commanders. Chicago on a bye after the return from London and a huge victory, a blowout of Jacksonville a week ago. Because, Donnie, when you look at the last 2 games for Caleb Williams, this is the promise of the number 1 overall selection. Against Carolina, 20 of 29, 304 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, 34 on the ground, clean, smooth, efficient. The Bears absolutely blow out the Panthers. All right, it's Carolina. How will you guys do finally away from the Windy City, where they entered week 6, DRS, 3-2 overall, but all 3 wins at home against lesser competition, booked as the favorite in every one. They go across the pond to a Jacksonville team that only had 1 win, but coming off its only win of the year, and a Jaguars organization, of course, very comfortable playing in London. The Bears closed as a slight underdog. So how do the Bears respond? 23 of 29 for Caleb Williams, his best completion percentage in a game this year, 4 touchdowns, 226 yards, becoming the first Bears rookie in franchise history for an organization, Donnie, that has struggled to develop and cultivate quarterback talent, especially early in their careers, became the first Bears starting quarterback as a rookie to throw for 4 touchdowns. Caleb Williams is finding his groove in this Bears offense. 3-game winning streak. He has been sacked only 7 times. He was sacked 13 times in the first 3 games of the year. 7 touchdowns to 1 interception in the 4 wins for Chicago this season. Of course, it has not looked as good in the 2 losses. 2 touchdowns to 4 INTs. But if Caleb Williams keeps Chicago on this trend, those odds with the narrative behind are going to grow tighter and tighter in that distinction here very soon.
Now, look, if we're just looking at who have you played so far, Caleb Williams, not all that impressive on this streak so far. The Titans are a bad football team. Yes, you played the Texans. You played them close, but you lost that game. The Colts leave a lot to be desired. The Rams, Panthers, and Jaguars, terrible. Now, you're going to face this Commanders team, and let's just say he beats them. He's probably going to go to, and if he has a good football game, maybe be the favorite. But the reason I talked about, remember, Josh Allen, don't buy just yet on this tough win streak here.
Right.
And now he gets a top-flight wide receiver. Now's the time to buy in. If you take a look at that schedule for the Chicago Bears next couple weeks here. Commanders, you can win that game. Cardinals, you can win that game. And the Patriots, he'll be riding high. But Ben, Look at the closeout to this season for the Chicago Bears. Packers,
no doubt.
Vikings, Lions, 49ers, Vikings, Lions, Seahawks, and Packers. That is going to be an unbelievable gauntlet, maybe as tough as you will see in the NFL. So maybe starting to look even more towards Jaden Daniels, because that schedule, that's going to be amazing. Now, granted, it can work in your favor if he wins his majority of those football games. But if he doesn't, he's going to start to lose a little bit in that rookie of the year race.
All six of the NFC North games for the Bears this year in the final 8 weeks of this regular season. I think we can both agree a quarterback, though, is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. More around the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue buy or sell to get you started for a new week in the National Football League that kicks off tonight on this Thursday in New Orleans between the Broncos and the Saints. DRS, we just talked about the number one overall pick from this past draft in April, Caleb Williams. His competition individually with the number two overall selection, Jaden Daniels, for that Offensive Rookie of the Year favorite and potential winner. I do just want to remind people, oftentimes it is difficult for a quarterback to win this award. Six of the 10 winners in this past decade have played a non-quarterback position. Three of the past six, however, have been a quarterback, and we all saw what C.J. Stroud did a season ago. By this point, week seven, DRS pretty much had already inscribed his name into that trophy. So that is now the expectation. And so far, Jaden Daniels, and as of the last 2 to 3 weeks, Caleb Williams have been living up to that expectation. However, there is also what happens often when you are drafted early to a poor franchise that does not have a lot of talent or a congruent coaching staff or good leadership, and you can be in a miserable situation. That is, of course, what has been happening to the number one overall pick from 2023's NFL draft, Bryce Young, who was benched entering week three in favor of the veteran Andy Dalton, who won the first game for Carolina. Whoop-dee. The Panthers, DRS, after being the worst team in the NFL and only two wins a season ago, are now just 1-5. They have been booked as an underdog in every single game, all 23 since the start of last season, whether it was Frank Reich as the head coach, interim head guys in Carolina, or now Dave Canales in his rookie season as the head coach. They are just 5-16-2 against the spread as an underdog. They look lifeless. So as we show you both quarterbacks in consideration in Charlotte, Bryce Young looked abysmal. There is no sugarcoating that in his first two starts this season. Andy Dalton does at least provide a spark to this Panthers offense. All four games he has started, Carolina has gone over the pregame total. But it's not about going over totals. Heck, it might not even really be about winning games. It's just about being competitive, DRS. So does Carolina have its best quarterback out there for that, buy or sell? It's time for the Panthers to start Bryce Young once again.
Bye. It's time to start Bryce Young once again. Now, hear me out how this plays out. This isn't a rookie season for Bryce Young. He was really bad last year, had an entire offseason, new coaching staff, started out maybe even worse than he was last year, Ben, in that Saints and Chargers game. There was no doubt in my mind from a franchise perspective you had to sit him down because you lose the locker room if you believe that the players aren't putting their best foot forward, specifically early in the season. They come out with a victory over the terrible Raiders franchise, but now it's three straight losses. Your season is over. Now it's time to get back to analyzing who can actually be on your roster moving forward, and that includes your young quarterback that you drafted number one overall just a year previous. He has to play. And also, there's a disconnect here between the ownership group, the general manager, and the head coach, because as I talk about Mike Tomlin, it's his job to win football games. It's not his job to actually plan for the future and see what's best. A coach's only job is to win as many games as I can and be competitive on a week-to-week basis. You got that after the win with the Raiders. Now your season is done. And from an ownership group, you must have to come to your general manager and coach and say, Your job is going to be safe. I need Bryce Young in there because if I have him in there, we can evaluate him. If he stinks the rest of the way, he's not going to be on our football team anymore. We can make decisions opposite. You're not doing the team, the city, or the franchise anything here by starting Andy Dalton. He's not your future guy. He might even win an extra game or two that could ruin your draft position for a chance to get another quarterback in the draft next year. So just to keep it simple, evaluation mode is now underway. Let the young kid play. If he doesn't throw a single touchdown pass the rest of the way, you obviously know exactly where you're going in the future. Andy Dalton playing does a disservice to that franchise on what they need to understand they need to do in the future, Ben.
Completely agree, DRS. You turn back to Bryce Young. You worry about the guy. His confidence looks shot. I'm not sure it's going to improve. If Dave Canales walks into the meeting room today and says, hey, you want to get back out there for us? Maybe we can at least keep a game within a single score. I don't know how it gets better for Bryce Young. And you do really feel bad for him. Maybe he finds a new situation like Justin Fields did, I guess, but now he's benched. I don't really know. It really does stink for a guy that I think, I do really think that hopefully there is some promise on the other side. But for Carolina, it's about figuring out if this guy even deserves to see a third year within your franchise. Maybe he looks decent, but he's not your franchise quarterback. There's some trade value for Bryce Young entering 2025 in another NFL team where he can find a greener pasture on the other side of this season. But I do believe, DRS, it is time for the Panthers to turn back to Bryce Young. Listen, it's been abysmal. He has thrown for more than 250 yards once in his 18 career NFL starts. It came in the second to last game against Green Bay a year ago. He has thrown for 161 yards or less in each of his two starts this year. 11 of the last 12 starts he has made, Bryce Young has thrown for less than 200 yards. Those are unfathomable numbers if you are going to even be a mediocre starting quarterback in the NFL. But it's time to figure it out. And the key, DRS, if Bryce Young is not your starting quarterback, and if Carolina ends up with a top three, top five pick, they are not trading it away to Chicago. That resulted in Caleb Williams being drafted. It is their pick this year. If you need a new quarterback, there you go. You have a top three, top five selection to get that done. Plus 344 Carolina, second shortest number to have the worst record in the NFL. The Patriots have that shortest price. Now let's turn quickly to Indianapolis. We can continue the conversation on the other side. Anthony Richardson, his de facto rookie year, where injuries have plagued AR now in his time in the NFL for Indianapolis. He has made four starts this year. He has thrown four touchdowns to six interceptions, has looked inconsistent at best. And then you turn to Joe Flacco and Shane Steichen's offense. He has looked incredibly consistent. Two starts, seven touchdowns to only one pick, a 1-1 record. Indianapolis, a win last week as a road underdog in Nashville. So, Donnie, we're going to talk about who Indy should turn to at the starting quarterback spot on the other side of the break in a Super Bowl rematch before the Super Bowl rematch in Week 7. It's all next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, we get you set for a new week in the NFL, having quarterback conversations. Should a veteran remain a starter or a young quarterback that needs to prove it and just gain that game experience in the NFL? DRS, both you and I are buying the idea that Carolina should turn back to Bryce Young for the future of him potentially being the face of the franchise and just the Panthers' outlook moving forward as well. How about in Indianapolis, where Shane Steichen, with a veteran and experienced backup, can win you football games and look magnificent offensively? Or should they turn back to Anthony Richardson, who was on the field yesterday, a full participant on track to start this week for Indy as the Colts host the Miami Dolphins, the Finns off the bye, Indianapolis a three-point home favorite inside Lucas Oil. Again, Anthony Richardson this year has started 4 games, 4 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. Not a good ratio. Joe Flacco in his 2 starts, 7 touchdowns to only 1 single pick, leading the Colts to their 2nd win of the year on the road this week as an underdog this past week in Nashville against the Titans. Buy or sell, DRS, the Colts should stick with Joe Flacco at quarterback.
I'm selling that, but if I'm a wide receiver in that room, I'm buying the heck out of that because I want the guy that's going to be able to throw the football 60 yards down the field on a rope and hit me wherever I'm at, as opposed to a quarterback where I'm running routes like George Pickens on the Steelers going like, I don't even know why I want to run this route with Justin Fields. He's never going to be. If I'm wide open, I'm never going to see this football. It is demoralizing for a wideout, but you have to understand the end game here. If you find out that Anthony Richardson is a really good quarterback, boy, you got it made for a couple years in the NFL. If you find that he's not that quarterback, you can quickly head back to the draft. The one thing I will say is Shane Steichen is an amazing football coach. It says a lot about a coach where if he has a real talented team and can guide him in the right direction, yeah, look, he's, you know, leader of men and you can do that. But when you have backup quarterbacks constantly, week to week, last year and this year, and you're still a competitive football team with all those injuries, that's pretty impressive. He just needs to settle on a quarterback and find out who that's going to be. He'll win with either one of them. But the upside is Joe Flacco is not the quarterback over the next couple of years that's going to take the Colts and lead them into the right. Super Bowl. Anthony Richardson can be that guy with an asterisk right now. I don't think he's going to be that guy because he can't stay on the field. You can't even evaluate him. He gets injured way too often for me. But I always look at, Ben, the health of the franchise is not saying, hey, fans, we're going to win an extra 3 games with Joe Flacco, get bounced quickly in the playoffs. The future is we drafted a quarterback high. We think he can be something. We owe it to him to get him on the field as soon as possible and get to evaluate him. Because let's just say Benny plays 2 more games and leaves with a fractured shoulder and is out the rest of the way. Now you're looking for a quarterback because it's not Anthony Richardson's fault. Some guys are just injury prone and get injured. He's a giant at quarterback, but his physicality makes him so intriguing. But that physicality gets him in trouble way too many times with injuries here. I do think you have to play him if he is available and healthy. I don't know if it equates to more victories, but the evaluation process must be completed by the end of this year before you start getting into those extra years. We got to pick up the, you know, 4th and 5th year. You might have to franchise tag him. You got to start that process sooner than later, Ben.
Yeah, completely agree, DRS. AR started only 4 games last year, completing just 2. And a lot of the issues for Anthony Richardson that were a problem in college that were supposed to turn around in the NFL, not often how it works, inefficiencies and incompletions have been on display here to start off 2024. He's got to be your guy. I understand. It should have all happened last year had he not had the season-ending shoulder injury. But he's got to be your guy to figure out what you have at the quarterback spot. So I am selling the idea that Joe Flacco should remain the starting quarterback despite the success that Flacco has had magnificently either in Cleveland a year ago or this year so far with Indianapolis. DRS, Week 7, Super Bowl 58 rematch in Santa Clara between the 49ers and the Chiefs. As it stands right now, both KC and San Francisco favored to win their conferences. Both have the 2 shortest prices to win Super Bowl 59. KC, though, shorter in both. 5-1 to win the Lombardi this year, their 3rd consecutive. 7-1 for San Francisco. KC, fresh off a bye, a perfect 5-0. San Francisco, just 3-3. Buy or sell, the 49ers and Chiefs will play in the Super Bowl again this season.
Yeah, let's sell and let's sell again where neither one of these football teams, Ben, actually makes it to the Super Bowl because they're not the best teams in either one of the divisions. Give me the Lions rising up and getting to the Super Bowl and give me the Bills and or the Ravens making the Super Bowl out of the AFC. Sell it across the board, baby.
Yeah, I sell it. The Chiefs have a better shot. Don't believe in the 49ers as of right now, but no back-to-back Super Bowl champ, which KC is. We've seen that 8 previous times in NFL history, has even reached a 3rd consecutive Super Bowl. The 49ers, a slight favorite for the Super Bowl rematch in Santa Clara on Sunday. Thursday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I lied right before the commercial break. My apologies. We will get to Thursday Night Football in just a little bit. But beautiful producing by our guy, Joe Friezo, to know that Thursday Night Football lacks a little bit of juice. We'll build the hype and excitement for it into hour number three, because week eight of the 2024 college football season and this Saturday slate, somehow, some way, if even possible, could be just the best single Saturday of this year. An incredibly significant Saturday, especially in the SEC. It is 1 versus 5. Number 1, Texas. Number 5, Georgia. Under the lights in Austin on Saturday night. The Longhorns playing host to the Bulldogs. The first time Texas has hosted a top 5 opponent, DRS, in nearly 20 years since 2006. When the line opened for this game in the summer months, Texas was a slight, and I mean very slight, home favorite in this potential matchup. Game of the year 3 billing is certainly justified against UGA. The line, as it opened early this week for week 8, 3.5. It is being added on for Steve Sarkisian's Longhorns. Texas, a 4.5-point home favorite. DRS, the last time that Georgia was booked as an underdog, way back at the start of the 2021 season, and another top 5 tilt to begin against Clemson. UGA won that game outright 10-3. We have not seen the Dogs as a dog in a very long time. Do you agree with a 4.5-point spread in favor of UT?
I do, and the line actually opened up at 2.5 and is now, you know, up to that 4.5 and even 5 ranges of some outlets out there. I don't think it's going to continue to get much, much higher than that, because there will be a buyback on Georgia. They're a pretty good football team. But when I'm looking at Texas, you watched that game against OU last week, 34-3 final. If Quinn Ewers was the Quinn Ewers that started the season not injured, that game might have been 54-3, and it would have been over much quicker because there were a lot of throws to be made in the first quarter and first half that he did not make. But if you're looking for Texas, usually it's like, hey, Sarkisian's offense is completely rolling. They're fantastic on offense. But look at the defense, starting with the Michigan game, 12 points, UTSA, 7 points, ULM, 3 points, Mississippi State, who is a SEC team, 13 points, OU, 3 points here. So as much as I want to focus on the offense for Texas, that defense was absolutely sensational. Now, we understand Georgia is a quite good defensive football team as well. Fell asleep a little bit in the first half against Alabama, but the rest of their games, lower scoring as well. For me, I think Texas is better. If I think they are better, they'll be able to cover the 4.5. But that 56.5, I understand how good these offenses can be. I'm looking towards the under on that total. I am. Two really good defenses in a high-stakes environment game. I lean towards the under. I don't know if we get 60 points in this one.
Texas's defense, DRS, leads the nation in terms of opponent yardage output and in terms of opponent point total. They are the only team allowing less than a touchdown per game on average. It's 6.8. But the Longhorns have not really seen an offense just yet, like Georgia, where Carson Beck has thrown for more than 430 yards in 2 of the last 3 against Alabama, a lot of it in the second half after 3 interceptions. He ended up with 430-plus yards and 3 touchdowns, more than 450 last week at home against Mississippi State. Donnie, there were some questions about Georgia as they started their back-to-back title run in 2021 and 2022, last year with a very easy schedule as well in 2023, and their inability perhaps for Kirby Smart's Dogs to cover games in non-conference. But in SEC play, they were lights out, 16-12 against the spread in conference action from 2021 to 2023. They have not covered so far in 4 tries, 0-4 against the spread for Georgia so far this year in SEC action. It has not been a great recipe for the Dogs just yet. Texas, meanwhile, a favorite in every game this year. They are 5-1 against the number. A huge spot for Quinn Ewers, who threw for less than 200 last week. A quarterback matchup, DRS, as you look at the NFL draft odds for this upcoming April between the two guys that are co-favorites right now to be that number 1 overall pick. Beck at 6-1, Ewers at 6-1 as well. And to your point, as we continue the victory lap, this game has a magnitude and an atmosphere that we have not seen in Austin in nearly 2 decades. because we have two teams still very much in the hunt for a college football playoff spot, an SEC championship, and even more than that, a national title as well. Texas is the favorite in its debut year in the Southeastern Conference to win the SEC at plus 115. But beyond that, DRS, look at the CFP prices. Both hefty minus money favorites to see the playoff. Texas enters this monumental matchup in Austin as the national championship favorites at plus 350. Georgia, third best price, about a dollar and a half behind at plus 490.
This will be one of those games where you say, okay, Georgia went to Alabama, had the lead late, lost that game, even having a massive comeback. Okay, they got one loss. They can still get into the national championship picture if they win their way out. This is really going to test the boundaries of can a two-loss team actually get in, because that Georgia game, that wasn't in Georgia. That's in Alabama. That's a tough place to play against a top-ranked opponent. Now you're going to go into Texas against the number one team. But let's just say, Ben, it's a fantastic game all the way through. 31-30 Texas here. You can still say Georgia comfortably is one of the 12 best teams in the country, but now you're going to test those boundaries of what happens if another team has one loss, and do you discount Georgia because of that schedule that they had, or you just say, we had your chances to win on the football field and you didn't. I want to see how this one plays out, but if you are Georgia, this is must-win territory. If you're Texas, of course you want to win this football game. You want to be number one. You want to win the SEC. You want to leave no doubt out here, but this is a quality football team coming to town where if you do lose and lose close, once again, Austin, Texas will wake up on Sunday morning like, oh, that's terrible. We lost that game. But hey, we can still win a national championship and play meaningful football the rest of the way. I do think Texas does win, and I actually would like to see Texas win, because I do want to see Georgia as a two-loss team, how they'll actually factor in if there's an outside slim chance that they can make the championship by saying, dude, did you see the two teams we lost to here? Basically number one teams on the road here and close.
Yeah, Donnie, you bring up a great point. I don't even think a second loss on Saturday eliminates Georgia from college football playoff contention. It should not. It more than likely will not. Does it make the margin of error the rest of the way, still with Ole Miss and Tennessee on the docket, that much more slim? For sure. Will we see a three-loss team in the first year of a 12-team college football playoff? That remains to be seen. But multiple losses, as it had in the previous 10 years of the four-team format of the college football playoff, should not eliminate you just yet. The third Saturday in October is always a huge one in SEC territory. And will they be singing Rocky Top all Saturday long in Knoxville, Tennessee? Hosts Alabama. Both teams suffered a loss 2 weeks ago. Both on the road, but both as hefty favorites. Tennessee in Fayetteville against Arkansas. Alabama, of course, in Nashville against Vanderbilt. And neither responded all that well last week. Tennessee survives in OT against Florida in Knoxville. Alabama survives at home against South Carolina late. In the Crimson Tide, DRS, enter this Saturday tilt, a top 15 one at that, as a 2.5-point road favorite in Knoxville. How do you break it down?
We used to say like all gas, no brakes here, but basically it's been all brakes for the Tennessee offense the past couple weeks. 25 points against OU, 14 versus Arkansas, 23 in overtime against the Florida Gators. Alabama seemingly sleepwalking through their past 2 weeks here, taking a loss to Vanderbilt, which is unheard of down in Alabama, Tuscaloosa territory. Then South Carolina, 27-25, or quite frankly, with multiple chances for South Carolina to win that football game even late here. I don't know what I'm getting out of these two football teams, but I know they're not playing their best football. 56.5 in this game, Ben. The way these two teams are playing in this important game, same thing as I just told you about Texas, Georgia. I'm going under. I don't think we get 60 points in this game. I don't.
Tennessee's defense has been one of the best all year long. Second best total defense, fourth best scoring defense. The offense, DRS, has been a struggle, as it has been for the freshman quarterback in Nico Iamaleava. A little bit more of college football than Thursday night football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There are so many great games on the Saturday Week 8 slate, it is hard to determine which ones even to preview. But we could not leave this one out for our very own Miami backer. That is Donnie Wrightside. The Canes on the road in Louisville, Kentucky, in the noon Eastern window on Saturday. Miami off a bye and a perfect 6-0 start. Just a 4.5-point favorite against the Cards on Saturday. 61.5 is the total. DRS expected to be close. Just how close do you expect it to be?
I think it is going to be close here. I still would take Miami with the -4.5 points, but I feel more comfortable that 61.5. I've been going under on the previous two breakdowns. I think this one does go over. Miami rested and ready for this one. We know that offense is going to put up a lot of points, but also we know this defense is capable of giving up a lot of points. 38 points to Cal, 34 points to Virginia Tech, which if they didn't overturn that final play, they would give up 40 points to Virginia Tech. So I think both of these football teams will move the football. If you're looking at, you know, prop bets for Cam Ward, absolutely. He's still going to be in the Heisman race after this game. I think they win. I think this game goes over the total. But if you're saying confidence meter, I'd rather go over 61.5 than lay the 4.5.
Yeah, I would agree with that, DRS. I think we see some offense, a matchup of two very experienced and solid collegiate quarterbacks. Cam Ward, of course, for Miami. He has thrown for at least 304 yards in all six tilts for the Hurricanes this season. Tyler Shuck for Louisville, not bad on the either side. How good will the Cardinals be under Jeff Brohm, who is good at pulling upsets, go back to his days at Purdue? As an underdog, though, for Louisville, just twice, which is kind of crazy to say. Both against Notre Dame, an outright win a year ago, a non-cover just a couple of weeks ago in South Bend. Miami unable to cover in its last two games, of course, as a double-digit favorite in ACC play, both at home against Va Tech and on the road a couple of Saturday nights ago in Berkeley. Thursday night football as we transition now to the National Football League. Kicks off week 7 tonight in the Big Easy. A storyline game for a game on paper that does not look all that appealing. We are kind of reaching the middle part of this season where short week Thursday night football games lack a little bit of luster. They know how to do it, DRS. Those schedule makers, of course, in the NFL. The first 5 divisional duels, significant matchups that have an important implication even outside of a short week game. This one, from a narrative perspective, as we will break down, certainly does. But in terms of the matchup, Denver, a 2.5-point road favorite in NOLA against the Saints. Total is minimal at 36.5. Donnie, we'll break down the matchup in just a second. But here is why this game has a little bit of added juice. That would be Sean Payton making his return now in his second year at the helm in Denver to his former home in New Orleans. Sean Payton spent 15 years as the Saints head coach from the 2006 season through 2021. Of course, he was suspended for the entirety of 2012. Won a Super Bowl with the Saints back in 2009. In those 15 years as the active head coach, led the Saints to double-digit wins 9 times. He is the winningest head coach in the history of the Saints. He is the longest tenured head coach in the history of this New Orleans franchise that dates back to 1967. What will the reception be for Sean Payton back in the Big Easy tonight?
Well, they probably give him a nice cheer to start the game, and then once that game starts here, you're going to boo him all the way through because you're always going to be rooting for your hometown team. But from a perspective for me, I don't really think the fans like, hey, Sean Payton's coming home. It's going to be interesting to see. But Sean Payton going home knowing that he wants to beat the franchise that he was with for so long and also a meaningful win, which would really help the Denver Broncos out, I think it means a lot more from that side of it. So fans coming home, because I remember also, you know, Philadelphia Eagles fans, Andy Reid coming home was like, yeah, we want to see Big Red and all that stuff and all the years of joy that he gave us, never able to get us over the hump. Different with Sean Payton because he was able to win a Super Bowl. He'll get cheered there. Same thing when Doug Peterson came back to Philadelphia when the Jacksonville Jaguars were in town. Got a standing ovation before the game, brought him a Super Bowl. But once that game starts, you hope that he gets embarrassed and you win your game 35-0 at that point. But the homecoming perspective, I think, means a lot for Payton as opposed to the fans and the Saints themselves.
It certainly does, right? There's not bad blood. It was Sean Payton that walked away from coaching. He was a broadcaster for a year and then went to Denver. In fact, for the Broncos, even to hire Sean Payton as their head coach, they had to trade with New Orleans and give the Saints draft assets because Payton still was under contract with the Saints, having retired, not having been fired or ending his contract out in the terms of it. So that will add a magnitude to this game. Now, as we see Denver as a 2.5 point road favorite. Short week Thursday night football matchup of two rookie quarterbacks. Bo Nix for Denver. Spencer Rattler in his second career game for New Orleans. And a minimal number at 36.5. Do you add the Sean Payton homecoming to your handicap at all?
Not necessarily, but I do think he's the better coach than Dennis Allen. I do think he has a better football team than the New Orleans Saints. So that's more of the handicap for me. But there is added incentive in this game because, you know, sometimes where the locker room itself, you understand big events here. When a football player is returning to play his previous team, the quarterback's always going to want to take care of him and say, you know what? I know what this means to you. I'm not going to force you the football, but if you're there, I'm going to make sure you get it here. Same thing with Sean Payton. The last thing he wants is to go on a Thursday night football game with all the hype of him returning back and the Saints come away with a victory 24-13. That would be embarrassing for him, and his teammates know that, and so does the organization. So I'm not saying they're going to try harder just because of that, because they're professionals. They're trying hard every game, but it is a little bit of that edge where you know how big of a game, and before the season started, hey, we're playing the Saints this year. Where do we have them? Oh, this one's going to be on the road. You know that he circled the calendar going like, this is going to be an emotional week. It's going to be a short week here. We better make sure that we're buttoned up for this one.
36.5 the total DRS. This will be the fifth game in seven for Denver this year with a pregame total sub 40. New Orleans, who went under in 11 of 17 games a season ago, is now over in 4 of 6. This is the first time the Saints have seen a pregame over under that is less than 40 total points. Just how much offense do we get in this short week Thursday night football game without a ton of key contributors offensively on either side?
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one to try to gauge because it's one of those if you outthink yourself and the game's up 17-10, like that's exactly what it was supposed to do. But these young quarterbacks, they let them rip all season long, both Knicks and also and that singular start here from Spencer Rattler. The good thing about them, they're both athletic too. They can make plays with their feet and also they can make big plays in the passing game, but big plays in the passing game that lead to turnovers. That might be good for the over.
We look at the rookie quarterback matchup up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday night football starts week number 7 in New Orleans. Bo Nix makes his 7th career NFL start in his rookie campaign. He was the 12th overall pick. Spencer Rattler was a 5th-round selection. He makes his 2nd NFL appearance tonight, his 2nd career start. Both quarterbacks, DRS, a passing yards prop, less than 2 Bills. 191.5 for Bo Nix, 182.5 for Spencer Rattler. Nix, actually a slightly higher price to throw an interception. That's just kind of mean in favor of Spencer Rattler, but both favored to throw an interception tonight. What can we expect out of the two rookie signal callers for either side?
I don't think you can expect a lot. I think you can hope for a lot at this point because if you just look at the New Orleans Saints, they're not a great football team as is. Their offensive line is injured and it stinks. Spencer Rattler is going to start his 2nd professional football game after getting beat last week 51-27. Now, granted, a little bit of an anomaly. It's a 4-point game in the 4th quarter, got away from him. But when you're saying to a rookie, this is, and again, let's equate it, Ben, to the start of the season. Hey, Caleb Williams is coming in as a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. We're going to surround him with some of the best wide receivers you can get. Hey, you know what? Rookie's going to make some mistakes, but these guys are going to be open and making plays. Spencer Rattler enters into this game with Bub Means, Wilson Jr., Tipton, and Johnson at tight end. Alvin Kamara is his only hope, and you don't think the Denver Broncos know that? Now, the Denver Broncos down their number one corner and the top 5 cornerback in the league. That should help some. But for a guy that's not really used to being on the same page with a lot of players, he's not going to get a lot of breakthrough. Like, you know what? Let me throw this 18-yard, you know, deep slant route here that my guy can take it to the distance. You're just hoping these guys are running the right route and you know what the play call is at this point. That's what makes it tough from their side. The Denver Broncos, they've already been through weeks and weeks and weeks of Bo Nix. Bo Nix won that competition in training camp, won that locker room over, and away they go. Rattler's in because Carr is hurt. And I'm not saying Rattler can't be efficient tonight and have a decent performance, but the odds, Ben, stacked against him for sure.
Yeah, certainly so. Listen, Spencer Rattler was not bad last week, 22 of 40 in that matchup against Tampa. Threw for 243 a touchdown, albeit with multiple interceptions. Bo Nix started his first two career games throwing multiple picks in both. Denver went on a three-game win streak, did not throw an interception, did throw a pick last week with two touchdowns, but a pick last week in a lopsided game that doesn't look all that lopsided against the Chargers. But Bo Nix, DRS, in six starts, has thrown for more than 200 in four of those. He did throw for 60 in a win against the New York Jets. That loss is going to, I think, haunt the Jets all year, but that's a different story for a different day. My bet on Bo Nix was over his season-long prop before the year got started, 28-50 in a hook. The guy is averaging just a tick above a buck 80 per game, and he's still on pace to break through 3,000. So I'm good there. Donnie, I do agree with your sentiment in tonight's game that Spencer Rattler is going to have a long leash just because there's not all that much offensively. But Denver is the fourth best total defense and the fourth best scoring defense in the NFL. And yes, without Patrick Surtain the second, that is going to take a hit. But Riley Moss on the other side has been sensational for Denver. Hey, you like Cooper DeJean. Keep an eye on Riley Moss tonight, DRS, for the Broncos. I do think Spencer Rattler will be able to air the football out, which goes into our next point, Donnie. Javonte Williams for Denver and Alvin Kamara, who, of course, has been really good this year for New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to open up the passing games, let's just say, in the first and second quarter. And quite frankly, I don't think either one of these teams has the ability to run away from the other team. So those two running backs will certainly be in play for most of the night. The one thing I do like about this is rookie quarterbacks in pressure situations. Sometimes they make one read. Sometimes they get to their second. Very rarely they scan in the entire field for their third and fourth reads on the backside, which you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the rushing props tonight, not for the running backs, but for the quarterbacks. Two athletic guys, Bo Nix, 26.5, Spencer Rattler, 20.5. I think both of them get over that number, and specifically like to see it if it is a lower scoring game where both of these football teams are close together and nobody gets a double digit lead. The quarterbacks will make plays with their feet if they're not trusting their arm or what they see, and these guys aren't pocket statues. They got some athletic ability. They should be able to run in this game.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara, 7 total touchdowns this year, DRS, did score last week in Rattler's debut, but only 18 touches for just 64 scrimmage yards. Probably has to be better. And we do need to show this graphic here. Take a look at who is going to be on the receiving end of any potential completions tonight. For Denver, we know some of those names. Cortland Sutton, Devon Vele, even Troy Franklin, Nix's former teammate in Oregon. Bub Means has the highest receiving yards prop for New Orleans. We'll continue to break it down when hour three starts next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.